stands on golden sands and watches the ships that go sailing.
For the foreseeable future, and in 30 days, we hold a grand reopening of the island as a must-see cruise destination.
Goodbye! Is this your first Mediterranean cruise?
Yes, but don't tell anybody.
Why not?
Because I'm the captain.
You got that? Now pipe down and hang on tight.
We've got a boat to catch.
Well, I'll tell you something. This is no longer a vacation. It's a quest. It's a quest for fun.
Happy will be beyond the sea.
Welcome back to the show, Evan Bray. Great to have you here. This is, I'm really looking forward to this hour and this conversation because, you know, I think about the very first concept that I ever had about a cruise, going on a cruise vacation, was that's what old people do. Old people, right? That's what old people do. They go on cruises. Man, it's so different. I have so many friends that absolutely are obsessed with going and taking their vacation on a cruise. There's so many different kinds. It's that all-inclusive experience on the water. They're picking up steam. I believe that. It's a unique travel experience, and there's so many different ways you can customize the experience as well. Now, having said that, I talk a big game. I've never been on a cruise. Jode and I have talked about it so many times. Never been on it, but friends of mine, like the one who's joining me in studio today, have so much passion and so much enthusiasm for the whole notion of going on a cruise. It really has me intrigued. I think it's safe to say I will do a cruise in my life. And certainly this next hour is going to help answer any questions I have. It might dispel a few myths that you and I think about cruises. And I say you and I because I want you to join the conversation. I've got a guest here for a full hour talking cruises and vacations. He's a cruise enthusiast, if you will. We'll find out a little bit more about his passion and where it comes from throughout the next hour. But as always, if you've got a story, a text, a question, whatever, 1-877-332-8255. Tanner Maurice. You recognize that name probably because we've had Tanner on the program before. He's a former coworker of mine at the Regina Police Service. He still works there, but in his spare time, his leisure time, his vacation time, he is a passionate advocate, if there is such a thing, for cruising. And Tanner Maurice joins me in studio. Tanner, how are you today?
How are you doing, Evan? Thanks for having me.
I like your look out of uniform. You're casual. You're like, this is just a relaxed.
I'm halfway ready for a cruise.
So let's start about, you know, where did this passion come from? How many cruises have you been on? When was your first one?
Yeah, so I've been on about 25 cruises. And the reason I say about is because every cruise is different in length. So it's unfair to compare an 11-night cruise and a 3-night cruise.
Right.
So I've been at sea for 174 nights. That's how I keep track.
Right.
I went on my first cruise way back in 2010. Absolutely loved it. Had planned on doing some more, and it just didn't work out. And then after the pandemic, that's when I really sunk my teeth into cruising. And I've been on, like I said, approximately 25 cruises over the past 4 years.
That's, and I mean, there's so many different kinds. But before we even get into details, what is it about a vacation as a cruise that you like so much?
I think the easiest way to explain it is there is something for everybody. So if you're looking for a relaxing getaway, if you want high energy, a lot of activities, if you want a party scene, if you want to explore, a cruise is going to give you the ability to do any and all of those things. And especially with your travel party might want to gravitate more towards one of those avenues compared to the next. So it offers something for everyone at a good value.
Right. And, you know, when you talk about something for everyone, I follow you on social media. We're former coworkers, as I mentioned. You take your family, your wife, you've had your mom, your parents have been on cruises.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's the same thing. It's something for everyone, whether you want a couple's getaway, something for the family, a big intergenerational trip. If you're looking at a high school reunion, a sales conference, there is an avenue for all of those.
Right. We were just talking a little bit earlier about some hiccups in the airline industry, and we got onto affordability and those types of things. How affordable are cruises? Are they, you know, are they, at one time, I think many people, I jokingly said that's what old people do for vacation, but a lot of people, I think, always had that impression it's a luxury vacation. What are your thoughts there?
Yeah, it certainly started out that way. It was really marketed kind of as a luxury vacation, and then it became for the the newlywed and the nearly dead. But the family atmosphere and the, you know, the explorative nature of it has really opened it up to a very accessible market. So it is actually every year successively since 2022, the cruise industry is growing and it's at an all-time high.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, since 2018, it was on that trajectory already. And of course, the pandemic derailed that, but it picked up steam again right afterwards.
Right. Well, we're getting a number of questions in already. I knew we would get some good questions. But I would welcome, if you have a question, 1-877-332-8255. So let's start off with some pretty basic things. Hot versus cold cruises, because there are different types that you can do. Thoughts there?
You can literally cruise the world. The biggest segment, of course, and not surprisingly, is the Caribbean. You know, so people are looking for those hot getaways. But if you want to do Alaska, if you want to do the Mediterranean, Australia, you want to do Asia, South America, there are cruises that are going to take you to those ports.
Right. And, you know, I mean, I know I've heard lots of people be quite open about how much they loved the Alaskan cruise that, you know, you would take. Obviously, that would be done in the summertime, but it was very, very popular amongst friends of mine that took that cruise.
Absolutely stunning. I've had the fortune of going on two Alaskan cruise vacations, and it is like another planet. It is so beautiful, so serene and peaceful. I really highly recommend the opportunity if you get it.
Okay, let's talk about the best cruise you ever went on. Think of that one that stands out. What about it was for you? Because I realize this is a very subjective thing. What was it that stood out?
Of course it is. And then for me, and I really can't narrow it down between two, but this year I was fortunate to do a 14-night Mediterranean cruise and see parts of the world that I've never seen before that are so rich in history, that are just so ancient. And it was right. Remarkable to know you were walking the path that people walked over 2,000 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But then from the family standpoint, and that's really a huge draw for me, is the memories that I create with my kids, and then being on Icon of the Seas, which at the time was the newest, biggest, latest, and greatest ship in the world. You can't top that. Those are memories that you can't buy.
Yeah. I mean, I love following you on social media because you really do paint a great picture of you're not a post one picture kind of a guy. You've got lots of different, I see, you know, in the same trip, you're enjoying basking in the sun, your kids playing in the pool, and then you and your wife in elegant dress wear going out to a fancy supper, right? You can do it all.
Yeah. And I mean, you can probably hear the smile on my face. It's like I said, it is just something for everyone. And the variety of things that you can do on a cruise are really, you know, second to none.
Right. 1-877-332-8255 is the number to call if you have a question. There's lots of people that are texting in already, and Tanner Maurice is my guest. He's a cruise enthusiast, and in fact, he's doing some work here where he can also help you out if you're looking to book a cruise. We'll talk a little bit about that later on in the program. I'm seeing a number of questions already coming in on thoughts about the different companies. Like, you can pick a variety of different cruise lines. Some may be seen as more inexpensive or, you know, luxury versus affordable cruise lines. Any thoughts there?
Yeah, when I'm explaining it to people, the easiest way is you kind of have your segment of mass market cruise lines, and that's going to be your more affordable family lines. And depending on the age of the ship and the features it has, that's where the pricing is going to vary. And then you can move into that kind of premium experience all the way up to that luxury and ultra luxury experience. So whatever it is that you're looking for, they'll have an answer for it.
Right. And so, what do we have as options? What are the main options out there in terms of cruise lines?
The biggest thing you're going to see are going to be the Royal Caribbean, Carnival, and Norwegian, as well as MSC, which is that's your mass market cruise line. So you're going to see those if you're watching a Super Bowl, you're going to see a commercial or something like that. They are the wow, I can't believe they put that on a cruise ship type company.
Right.
The food is really good as well, but they're really focusing on the entertainment and the activities. Then when you get into that premium brand, the Princess, Celebrity, Holland America, it's a little bit more adult focused, a little bit more pampering yourself, relaxation. And then I'm not there yet, Evan, but the luxury brand, you know, a few extra dollars.
You'll pamper yourself eventually,
yeah,
Tanner.
Yeah. And then you kind of have the river cruise segment, right? Which is a totally different beast from the ocean cruising. It does tend to skew a little bit more to that, you know, semi-retired, retired age group, but a fantastic way to see a lot of different ports.
Right. Okay. Well, this is maybe a good time to take our break, but literally we've got a 24 texts that have come in just while we've been talking already with questions. Tanner Maurice is my guest. He's a cruise enthusiast. So if you have a question about taking a cruise, or if you want a little bit of a tip or some advice on something, we'll talk about day destinations. Is that what you call them? Like the day excursions?
Yeah, shore excursions.
Yeah, shore excursions. I've seen a couple of questions here about that. A couple of questions about some of the myths that we hear. I mean, we heard about the infamous poop cruise. In fact, I think there was a documentary on it.
There absolutely was.
Yeah, okay. So I want to talk a bit about that. I know you've got a few myths that you can dispel. Lots of questions on cruising right now till 12 o'clock. So lots of time to get your question in. We'll be right back with Tanner Maurice here on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME.
Some people claim that there's a woman to blame, but I know it's nobody's fault.
Saturday, yes!
Gosh, you think you could use your utility belt to get me a cruise on the SS Gotha?
A vacation? Why? I haven't had one of those since, I've never had one of those.
You're going to need a bigger boat.
I'm overwhelmed. I'm invited for lunch and given a cruise.
I need a vacation.
Vacation, did you say? We offer marvelous travel opportunities. Palm Springs? Well, close to it anyway. How's the Bermuda Triangle? We'll see what we can do.
I knew this was going to be a popular segment. The text line has been busy already. 1-877-332-8255 is the number. Do you have a question on cruising? Going on a vacation, on a cruise, on a ship, on a boat, could be a short one, long one, ocean versus river, whatever the question is, I've got the guest, Tanner Maurice. He's a buddy of mine. He's also a cruise enthusiast who, self-admittedly, has been on about 25 cruises. That's impressive. You're a young guy. What are you, 25 now, Tanner?
A few years older.
Yeah, okay, a little bit older than that. I want to grab this call. James is a regular contributor to our show, and I always appreciate him calling in from Saskatoon. Adding to the discussion, James, what have you got for me?
Well, so my one recommendation would be, especially on your first cruise, because your first cruise is much like your first kiss. It's something that will always be with your memory. And I suggest that you always not try and necessarily find the most economical, but raise it to the level that it needs to be. And so, you know, splurge a little bit, get the higher end stays, get the formal dining experience, you know, give yourself an opportunity to really have that piece of relaxation that everybody always wants, and see what it can really be at its greatest capacity.
Okay.
You know, I had a great cruise with, our first one was with a celebrity on the Alaskan cruise, and we had the Aqua program as well. And yes, everything is high-end, almost five-star kind of, three-diamond accommodations. It's incredible. It's to the point where on the cruise we actually had Beef Wellington twice, and one of those realities is that when we eventually got back onto terra firma, onto flat land, possibly 2 days later, my wife and I look at each other and it's kind of like, so how do we have a 5-course meal tonight?
you get pampered on the cruise. Would you agree with that? I mean, what James is saying is for your first cruise, don't go cheap.
Yeah, and it's not like you have to break the bank, but you don't want to set yourself up to hate it from the beginning. Give it a fair shot. And he's absolutely right. As soon as you get off, it's really hard to step back into reality where you're now cooking your own meals, you're cleaning up after yourself,
yeah.
And it's a legitimate fear of right. Missing out.
So one of the questions, Tanner, that's coming through on the text line a lot is people that are saying, I'm really intrigued, but I'm worried I'm going to have seasickness. I'm worried that, you know, it's, I've heard stories about the seasickness ruining the vacation. Is that a consideration?
I mean, it is a consideration. It's one of probably the most common apprehensions that people have. And the reality of it is the vast majority of people who are worried about it never experience any seasickness at all. Of all the cruises I've been on, I've felt maybe slightly queasy one or two nights.
Okay.
And then you have to factor in these ships are made to be stable now. They're not the old ocean liners of yesteryear. They're converted. They're wide. They have stabilizers. They're designed to give guests a fantastic experience.
Right. And I mean, there's got to be meds. I'm thinking of Gravol, but there's meds you could probably take that would help you with that too.
You can absolutely get over-the-counter, you know, patches or pills that you take in advance. There's the kind of the home remedies like a green apple, stuff like that. Yeah.
I've heard anecdotally that people from the prairies experience seasickness less because of just the vast, you know, landscape that we have here that gives us almost, that's why we make good sailors. I've heard that said
before. You know, Evan, I haven't heard that, but I would believe it. Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. It's an interesting thing. So while we're dispelling rumors, let's talk about the poop cruise thing. Like this, I haven't actually seen the documentary, but it became a thing.
It did. Yeah. It had its moment,
so,
for sure.
Well, talk to me about this.
I mean, in a nutshell, there was a ship that broke down out in the, literally in the middle of the ocean. And because of the nature of the breakdown, everything failed. We're talking sewage systems. They couldn't cook food. And what was supposed to be a 4-day cruise turned into 8 days stuck out at sea with no working toilets.
Right. So they had to dispose of the stuff somehow.
Yeah. And everything was, you know, ad hoc. How do we feed these people when we can't cook food? You know, they were making sandwiches, you know, that's far from the beef Wellington there that we were hearing about. But I'm going to throw you a softball question here, Evan. What is the approximate population of Saskatchewan?
1.3?
Yeah. Yeah. And at any given moment, that's actually the exact same amount of people that are on a cruise ship across the world. And so when you think about how big our province is, and if 4,000 people were to go without power for a little while or something like that, it really wouldn't be a huge issue.
Right.
But anything that happens out at sea, whether it's a fist fight or, God forbid, a murder or a man overboard, it just gets blown out of proportion.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, those are the exception. I mean, you've been on, as you've said, numerous cruises. Have you had breakdowns? Have you had any significant issues like that?
No, we've never experienced anything remotely like that. We have, I think, out of all the ports that I've been to, and we're talking, you know, hundreds of ports, I've maybe missed one or two. In advance, we were told that we were rescheduling, you know, one or two or three. So realistically, that type of thing is so minuscule. The chances of it happening are almost nil.
Right. Tanner Maurice is my guest. We're talking about taking a cruise vacation. And if you have a question, I would welcome it. 1-877-332-8255. We are up against another break. I'm hoping Tom from Warman can hang on. Maybe Frank, we can check that, get Tom to hang on till after the break. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about some of the myths that are out there about cruises and maybe some tips that come from an expert like you, Tanner, where people should have this in mind if they're wanting to book. What's the difference of a balcony suite versus an inside suite? Where's the best place to book a cruise? Can you go with one of these discount travel agents? Should you be doing it with the cruise line themselves? So all of these questions when we come back with our guest, Tanner Maurice, here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.
That glorious cruise.
No calls.
No care.
No survivor.
How about Ocean Reeve soap? It's just like taking an ocean cruise, only there's no boat and you don't actually go anywhere.
Hey, man the lifeboat, women and children first. Awooga, awooga, dive, dive.
What about vacation? I want it. I never wanted to go on this stupid vacation.
Wow, what a boat.
Oh, a cruise.
Jamaica. How about this song, Tanner? Kokomo lists a bunch of places. Have you been to Aruba, Jamaica? Have you been to those spots?
Yeah, I think I've been to all of them except Port-au-Prince, Haiti.
Okay, well, there you go. You've got one more on your bucket list to check off. Tanner Maurice is my guest. He's a cruise enthusiast, and we're talking about cruises. And if you have questions, we're welcoming those. Thank you to all of those that we've been able to get on so far. Lots of great questions on the text line and some coming in on the phone too. I got Tom and Warman, for example. Tom, what's your question?
Yeah, my daughter went on a cruise to the Caribbean last year, and when they went to leave, get off the boat, they were hit with an automatic gratuity fee. Is that typical of all the cruises, or like you don't tip on the cruise, but you at the end of it, they had to pay an extra fee?
Okay.
Yeah, that's right. So that's changed over the years, but that's kind of the way it is now, is you actually have the option to prepay your gratuities in advance, which is actually what I recommend, because you don't want to step off your fantastic vacation with a big bill. But if you don't pay in advance, the gratuities do accrue on your account daily. Of course, everybody wishes they were just built into the fee, but some lines still have them separate as a line item, and so they're tacked on, just like a resort fee at any hotel in Vegas or an all-inclusive resort.
So it's a good thing to be aware of then when you're factoring in what the overall cost of this trip is. Can we talk a little bit about the packages? Because I know you can, if you're booking a cruise, there's all kinds of options and things you've got. Talk to what the choices are.
That's right. The more luxurious of a cruise line you go on, the more all-inclusive it's going to be. But your mass market cruises are going to include all of your meals, all of your, you know, water, milk, tea, juice, that type of thing. But if you want to add on alcohol packages, that's usually separate. Shore excursions are usually going to be a separate item, which you can purchase through the cruise line or third-party websites. Even things like internet are things that you're going to have to purchase extra. And every cruise line runs it a little bit differently. Some have a few more packages than others. But the general consensus is that it's a plug and play. You're going to pick the things that you want.
Mm-hmm. So those gratuities that Tom asked about and you're talking about, you can actually pay that up front. And is it like the typical gratuity rate? Do you choose what to pay, or is it set?
It's actually set, but it's remarkably low when you think of what you typically would tip at like a nice restaurant or something like that.
Right.
When you understand the amount of people that are sharing that tip, it is remarkably low. It's usually around, and I say around, that $20 per person per day mark.
Okay. Well, that is fairly reasonable in the grand scheme of when you're considering food and all of that.
You're going to have so many servers and bartenders and room attendants that you're interacting with, is that $20 split amongst all of them doesn't go very far.
Right, right. So when you talk about you consider all the people that are on the ship, I did see a question here of someone who's very interested and intrigued about the notion of taking a cruise, but is a bit worried about you're with a group of people potentially in a confined space for a couple of weeks. Is illness a thing?
Right. So the remarkable thing about cruising is I think it is the most cleanest hygienic vacation that you can take. There are always people cleaning the railings, cleaning the elevators. You have to wash your hands as you walk in to the buffet. That doesn't really exist at most land-based restaurants. And not to bore you with numbers, but there were 22 gastrointestinal outbreaks or norovirus in the year of 2025. That accounts for 1% of all of the gastrointestinal outbreaks as recorded by the CDC, which is an American stat, but 1% of all of those came on a cruise ship. Very low.
You really are the Cliff Clavin of cruises.
I'm into it.
you're the guy for sure. 1-877-332-8255. Here's a question. Is it true some people live on cruise ships?
This is absolutely true. Yeah, there are a handful of people who for all intents and purposes live on a cruise ship year round. They may get off once or twice. Most of these people are people who can work from online, so they do still work a little bit.
Right.
But they rent a room on varying cruise ships throughout the whole year.
Jeepers, that's quite the life. I see a couple of texts wanting people saying they're curious to know the difference between ocean cruises and river cruises. Have you ever taken a river cruise?
So I haven't yet been on a river cruise, but I do have some clients that have gone and knowledgeable about it, and I have one eyed up. But there is a difference in the sense that, I mean, the size of the ship, of course, is going to be the big one. River cruises, you're always a little bit more closer to land. You're not necessarily going to feel like you're out in the wild exploring as much. And they're very port intensive. So you might actually hit one or two cities in one day, whereas ocean cruising, you're typically going to get a few sea days built into your vacation as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The thing that I think about, I've got friends that just got back from a river cruise, but part of the holiday time that is needed is to get to the wherever the cruise is leaving from. So if you're taking a cruise down, you know, out of Florida or, you know, maybe California or whatever, you might take a flight and get there in a day. But if you're going overseas and then cruising, you probably need to string together a few days.
Evan, I love Saskatchewan, but we just don't have any cruise ports here. So you're absolutely right. We're, you know, we're in a position here where we do have to fly. And if you are traveling, I know this summer when we went to the Mediterranean, we went 3 or 4 days in advance so we could shake off that jet lag and get adjusted to the new times.
Right, right. So you mentioned you have a couple of clients that do. So I just actually learned, you and I are talking here this morning, you've actually started doing just kind of a little bit of a, you help people book cruises.
I do, yeah. I'm fully capable of booking most ocean line and a handful of river cruises for people. I've been taking a pile of training, but really it is a passion project.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's your kind of hobby, right?
This is, I am not out there hustling people. If people want to come, and that's where the true value lies, is talking to somebody who's knowledgeable about cruises, because there are those little tips and tricks that can kind of make or break your first day. Or just make that process smoother.
Right. So there's been a couple of questions on the text line about, you know, am I in trouble if I book my cruise through a discount cruise line? You know, it's like booking your hotel room through one of those, you know, discount websites or whatever. Do you run into problems? Are you better to go through someone who does this or book directly with a cruise line?
So you can absolutely book directly with the cruise line. The only consideration there is they're in business for themselves and they're not going to give you the comparators, right? Whereas a trusted travel agent will show you options amongst many different cruise lines. With some of those discount cruise options, you have to be careful. You could be purchasing a guaranteed room. And really all that means is you're almost on standby. If they sell out that cruise, you're the first person who's going to get chopped. You're not going to get to pick your room location. So you don't want to be under the nightclub. You don't want to be right above the laundry, the crew area, right? So going through a trusted advisor or even the cruise line so you know what room you're getting is crucial.
That's good advice. Speaking of picking the room, I've heard people that have taken cruises say way better to get a balcony suite than an inside suite. Do you have thoughts on that?
Yeah, generally speaking, you're going to have your interior rooms, which are four walls with no windows, but that is the easiest and cheapest way to get on a cruise, and you spend very little time in your room. Then you have your ocean view, which is going to be a window that you can't open. It's kind of that in between. And then you're going to pay a little bit more for that balcony, which again, is fantastic, really nice to have. But if the choice is two cruises at an interior room versus one cruise on a balcony, that's a choice that's going to be very personal.
Yeah. Good point. Okay. I want to jump back on the phone line. I'm going to take this call from Dwayne in Carrot River. Dwayne, I didn't realize you were such a cruise enthusiast.
I'm the luckiest man in Saskatchewan. I've been on 75 Princess cruises and 5 Royal Caribbean. I picked Princess because they're midway. Some of them are very luxurious. Disney's expensive, but that's because it's set up to with kids and whatever. But I have learned a tremendous number of things about cruising. First of all, find yourself somebody that resells cruises. You get to know the person. I have a guy in Houston, Texas. He's on call 24 hours a day. He does things for me like he phones me. He always tells me, stay packed, and I do. And he says, there's a cruise that's on. They can't get rid of the last few seats. I can get it for you for $200 for 7 days. One time wow. He phoned me and he said, are you ever been to New Orleans? I said, no. He said, Mardi Gras on. Nobody wants to go on the ship, said. So for 3 weeks, I got on Saturday evening, did the 7-day cruise, came back, had the whole Saturday in New Orleans. And so I had 5 days in New Orleans and 3 cruises for 21 days. And on that particular cruise, I paid $225 a room. Secondly, people will say, well, why would you go on the same ship? Well, once you've been on your preferred passenger, maybe after 10 cruises, you just pick the lowest priced room on the ship. And when that ship is getting ready to leave, they give you the best room on the cruise ship because it's sitting empty and they appreciate your business. And my goodness, after I became a preferred passenger, I rarely had an inside room. And
you know what? Can I just jump in?
want to get sick.
I just want to jump in, Dwayne. Sorry, Dwayne, just give me a second. I want to jump in because you said when I become a preferred passenger, and that makes me question, is that a thing, Tanner? Like if you build, you build up credits?
Yeah, you build loyalty status or loyalty points with each cruise line. One thing that's really exciting right now is that the Royal Caribbean Group is merging them. So if you sail Royal Caribbean, Celebrity, or Silver Sea, they're now allowing any point status that you have on one line to cross over.
Okay. All right. We're going to take our last break. Still got questions I want to get to. So thank you to everyone that has been texting in questions about, you know, I've got an example here of someone who lost her husband. And so she says she's interested in going on a cruise, but, you know, are cruise mostly for couples? Would a single person still fit in on a cruise? So we'll get your thoughts on that. And another question on the phone, Norman Regina, we'll go there when we come back. We're talking cruises with Tanner Maurice here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.
Don't keep me in suspense, big fella. Where are we going on vacation? Hawaii? Rio? The Riviera? Or will it simply be a Caribbean cruise?
Why can't we take a princess cruise if we want to be out on the ocean?
It ain't all about the size of the boat. It's the motion in the ocean.
What should I pack for my vacation? Leave the gun, take the canola.
Attention has been noted. Unfortunately, as you can see, the boats have been fully loaded, and we haven't even taken on my hats and tea service.
Good job as always, Frank. Put together some great introductions for this segment on cruising. We're chatting today with Tanner Maurice, who is a cruise enthusiast, been on 25 cruises himself. And as we've learned on the text line, there's a lot of people that more than doubled the number of cruises. There's some real enthusiastic people about this out there. Okay, Tanner, I'm going to do some quick hit questions here because there's a bunch of texts yet that I want to get to as many as I can in the next few minutes.
Sounds good.
Can you smoke on a cruise?
In designated areas, but definitely not on your balcony.
Okay, but you could, like if you're a cigarette smoker or cigar smoker.
There are designated areas.
What about marijuana?
No, it's usually regulated federally. You can't do that on cruise ships.
Okay. I've heard the rumor that if you leave the ship, they plug into a port you want to tour around for the day and you're late for getting back on the boat, they're going to leave without you.
The ship will absolutely leave you behind if you're late. Okay. And people gather around to cheer on people making that last minute dash. The important thing to remember is if you book your excursion through the cruise line, they'll wait. If you do it on your own, you're on your own.
Okay. Have you ever been on a Disney cruise and what's different about them is a question.
Yeah, I was fortunate enough to take my 6-year-old daughter on a Disney cruise and we had a fantastic time. But the cost you're paying is exorbitant compared to other lines, and you're paying for that Disney experience, so you have to really weigh whether or not it's worth it for you.
Right. So, and because some adults will take Disney cruises.
Absolutely, right? Yeah. Disney's a you know, it's a big thing.
So on that note, I've got a question here on the text line from Pat in Saskatoon. Pat says, cruising has been on my bucket list for a long time. Now that I'm a widowed senior, I wonder if cruising is for couples only.
Cruising actually does a good job of mixing people together and making it very social. So there is specifically certain cruise lines that do solo cruising better than other lines. The only thing to consider is pricing is effectively based off of double occupancy. So whether you're sailing with one person or two in a room, it's going to be the same price.
So you could go as a single, but it might be worth finding a friend that wants to go.
Or... Absolutely, yeah. The solo cabins are very hard to come by. They do exist, but there are usually areas on the ship dedicated to solo travelers.
Lots of questions on the text line. Is there a good time of year to book a cruise?
Well, I always recommend booking your cruise out as far as possible to get the cheapest price and the most room choice. But if you're looking at when to travel, shoulder seasons are a good option. So Alaska, for example, the season is effectively late April to, say, October. So booking in that April, May, September, October is going to be cheaper than booking in the summertime.
Tanner Maurice is my guest. He's a cruise enthusiast, and although this is not his day job, you have kind of taken this on as a bit of a hobby. You will help people book their cruise. They can find you on social media, is that right?
Absolutely. So my social media handle is Crown and Trident Cruise Vacations. So if you think of Neptune or Poseidon, the god of the sea, wearing a crown and holding that big three-pronged trident spear, that's where the name came from. It's Crown and Trident. And I'll be happy to help people out.
Yeah, and you're on, I think, Instagram. That's where I follow you.
Yeah, Instagram predominantly, Facebook as well, and then crownandtridentcruises@gmail.com.
Okay, good stuff. Tanner, this has been outstanding. I appreciate you coming in. Thanks so much for your time today.
Thanks very much, Evan.
Most of our cruising questions were answered, and thank you to everyone that joined the conversation. It's been great. I appreciate you, as I always do, joining whatever conversation we are having. Okay, we're going to take our break. When we come back, still lots to talk about, including a well-known NHL goaltender who recently passed away at the age of 94. That's coming up just after 12 here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.